Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo and I'm at the Clifton Hotel again, one of my favourite haunts I think, and I'm with Tracy Wilson who is an ECLO. Hiya Tracy.
Hiya Jo.
So do you want to start by telling us what exactly, for anybody who doesn't know, what is an ECLO?
Okay, so an ECLO stands for an Eye Clinic Liaison Officer, and that is a person who is based generally in an eye clinic, in an outpatients department, and they're there to offer information, advice if people need it, and support, emotional support or practical support on how they can come to terms with the diagnosis or living with sight loss and how they can make life easier for themselves.
So how did you, do you want to tell us a little bit about how you came to have the role as an ECLO?
Okay, I am visually impaired myself and have been from birth, and I've gone through very different stages of losing sight throughout my life. Faced many challenges and many of the barriers that many people come across with sight loss. And I became aware as I got older and had a family of my own and had a visually impaired child of the lack of support that people receive through losing their sight and living with visual impairment. And I was very keen to change that, and I wanted a better future for my children more than anything, and to make a difference to other people, and kind of went out to find how I could put that into action. So I looked into what support there was available and found there was very little, but I came across the role of an ECLO, which was very new at that time, and I looked into how I could get involved. I did some voluntary work, and through my other previous work experience I put that together, and I went and did a 4-day ECLO training course, which is an accredited course that the RNIB have developed with the University of London, and that gave me the extra skills and insight into what an ECLO was myself. And then the job came up here in Exeter, which is funded through Action for Blind People, through funding from the National Lottery.
Okay, so you were telling me before that it's actually been funded for 3 years, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. Initially, it's full-time for 3 years. It's a new post here in Devon. So it's a really good opportunity to develop the service and to make it what people want it to be, not just about what has already been before, and to really reach out to as many people as possible.
So can an ECLO help anybody of any age? Is it age related? Because I know we have rehabilitation officers as well, but can people with children approach you as well?
They can. I'm there for anybody, and not just the person that is experiencing sight loss, but for family members, carers, anybody, general public, if they've got any concerns, if an employer had a concern about how they could support somebody with a sight loss, then I'm there as an information portal, if you like, a hub, to give that information and signpost people to relevant services that are out there in the community that may be able to give further ongoing support as well.
So what would happen? Are you actually based, you say you're based in a hospital, but is that where people would meet you, or do you go out to people's houses, or is it always done within sort of the hospital?
Technically, I'm based currently, I've been in post since late last year, just before Christmas. Initially I will be based at the West of England Eye Unit, which is based at the Royal Devon and Exeter Hospital. But there is scope there to reach out to some of the community hospitals to try and reach as many people as possible. But people can also contact me through their GP, through an optician. I've recently set up some information days in one of the high street opticians in Exeter to raise awareness of the service, and to also be a link between people going to an optician's, having a sight test, then maybe being advised that they should contact the hospital or being referred to the hospital, and being a link and give information about what that person might expect at the hospital. But they can also then receive that emotional support.
So can you actually go into an appointment with somebody if they felt they needed that as support? If they were on their own, they didn't have, say, a family member who could go in with them, could you do that?
Yeah, there's been a couple of times where people, they've maybe had transport to and from hospital, but they've not had anyone there to support them through that appointment. So I have gone into the consulting room, just if it's somebody with additional needs, whether that's memory loss or hearing difficulties. I've been there as an advocate, and that's part of my role, is to be an advocate for people, to make sure that they understand what is being explained to them in the consulting room. And then either then going out separately and going through that in more depth and giving them sort of an explanation in a way that they can understand, or to give the carer more information and advice about what that person's going through too.
Well, I think that's brilliant, because it's always good to know that somebody that you're going to encounter is going to have some understanding of sight loss, rather than we've all had the experience where, you know, you go into a consulting room and they really don't have much idea, and, you know, I've been in where they hold fingers up in front of you and you go, well, I've no sight, I'm totally blind, and they still do it and say, well, can you just tell me if you can see light or dark? And I'm like, no, I can't. So that's, I think that's so important.
Absolutely, and I think that empathy and understanding is what comes across and just reassures people. And it can help put them to at ease in opening up into how they're feeling. And just for me to give some practical kind of help can also be beneficial to people. So as part of my role, I introduce people to some equipment that may make a difference to their daily life. So I talk quite a lot to people about lighting and low vision aids, magnifiers. I can refer people through the hospital to low vision clinics if that's not something that's been discussed with them. And just to give them that reassurance, and I think people just sometimes feel empowered by somebody that they feel they can connect to and does have that understanding. And for me, it's, you know, I've been in situations where it's like, oh, it's just a professional, and they think they know everything, but they don't really get where I'm coming from. They don't really understand what the difficulties are. So I think it kind of gives that real human aspect to it as well.
And I'm guessing that parents will benefit a lot as well, parents and carers with children who have sight loss, because it's, you know, I'm guessing there's nothing more scary than having, you know, a child and being told that they're going to lose their sight, and then you don't know how to cope. And so I'm guessing you give support there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's so many different questions that parents have when children lose their sight at an early age or through the teenage years. And there's lots of questions, lots of concerns, lots of unanswered questions. And I think sometimes just talking those through and getting reassurance that there is hope for the future, and maybe perhaps my perspective that you can go on and be, you know, work and have employment and have a family and do all the things that their sighted peers would do as well, can be reassuring as well.
So they can contact you directly if they feel that's appropriate, can't they?
They can. You know, if it's somebody who it does access the West of England Eye Unit, they can speak to one of the nursing staff or the reception staff if they can't contact me in person themselves. Or I can give you my contact details where they can contact me outside of the clinic as well.
Yeah, that's great.
So if I give you that, so my number they can contact me on is 01392 406 043. I do have a mobile number, if that's useful for people, which is 07 85 02 123 02. And I also have an email address, which is Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, Wilson, W-I-L-S-O-N, 5@nhs.net.
That's brilliant. Well, thanks very much, Tracy, and hopefully lots of people will be able to contact you very soon and get the help that they need.
Thank you.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.